There's lots of stories that I could tell of myself. In fact, a lot of you have a lot of stories that you could tell about me. Stories where I try to take shortcuts, right? Stories where I try to save money because I'm cheap. Even last week, I was ordering the pizzas, and I was going to get, you know, $5 pizza or some Little Caesar for the cleaning crew. And Hillary's like, "You cheapskate. Spend $2 a pizza and get Papa John's. It is so much better." I agree. But I'm cheap, right? I'm trying to take the shortcut, trying to save some money. We did get Papa John's. Hillary won. Now, there's other stories I could tell about me trying to take shortcuts to, you know, save time because I'm busy like you. We don't want to spend too much time doing something. Or to save energy because I can be lazy sometimes. So shortcuts. Really what shortcuts are often are compromises. I'm going to tell you a story that almost everybody in the room knows, and I'm going to tell it anyway. A few years ago, I was in the carport making some shelves for our house. And I'm like the handyman, right? So I can do all this because I want to save money, right? I don't want to pay somebody to do this. So I got there. I got the table saw out there, and I got my wood. And Liz is going on her way to work, and she says, the last thing she says to me, "Don't cut your fingers off." So I proceed, and I'm doing great, right? And I don't have the guard on it. Why? Because the guard is a hassle. I mean, it gets in the way, really. So I'm doing fine, right, and being careful. And Lonnie is going to be cringing back there, I know. He is Mr. Safety when it comes to woodworking. I should have been under his tutelage. So everything's going fine, right? I have one more piece to cut, and it's a small piece. You know, the table saw is not like a saw you pull down or you do like this. It's a table with a blade that goes, runs, right? It's there. It's not moving. If something's going to move, it's not going to be the saw or the table. So I got this little piece of wood, and I'm thinking, this is going to be close here. I don't know. But I don't want to take the time and the energy to go find the guard and put it on. I don't want to take the time and energy to build a little push stick, which is what I found out Lonnie, that's what Lonnie does. He's got all these push sticks ready made, right? Let's see, which one do I need? He just... I don't have time and energy to do that. I'm busy, right? I want to get this thing done. So sure enough, I push that little board in, and it grabs the board, and my slip, and these two fingers, right? If you look carefully, I have no fingernails on those fingers. I know you're going, but that's one of the stories I could tell about me trying to take a shortcut. Trying to save time, trying to save money, trying to save my energy. It's all about me. I make compromises, and I made a compromise this time for the sake of safety, and I paid the price. But aren't we all kind of tempted to take the easy way? We're all interested in things that take less time, that cost more money, shortcuts. And what areas of your life do you tend to take shortcuts in? Maybe it's, I'm sure some of us in this room still change our own oil. I'm sure some of us still do that. But I bet most of us don't do that anymore. And we love the convenience of the quick oil change places. Right? That's a shortcut. That's a convenience that you choose to make. I wonder how many people have been through more than one drive-through window this week, at the restaurant, at the bank, at the drugstore, right? We love our convenience. We love shortcuts. And some of them are fine, right? But some of them are compromises that are going to compromise our safety. They're going to compromise some other things that we're going to talk about. Maybe it's discipling your own kids. You want to take the easy way out, which is let the church do it, all right? Just let the teachers do it. Yeah, we'll pray every once in a while, but you don't really focus in on developing your child's spirituality. Maybe it's at work. You try to get by with the least amount of work as possible. That includes school, right? Maybe it is whatever it is. It's the path of least resistance. And this is a universal truth. People will migrate to the path of least resistance. What is the easiest thing? What is the most convenient thing to do? If I sleep in, because it's easy to sleep in, then I might miss my bus or get fired from work. Compromises have a price to pay. If I go along with the crowd, because that's the easy thing to do, go along with the crowd, I might find myself being in the wrong place where I shouldn't be, or participating in some activities that aren't exactly holy or God-honoring. If I hold on to my money with a tight fist, there are consequences, because I'm going to become greedy and stingy, and I'm not going to have the blessing of blessing somebody else. If I use my credit cards willy-nilly and don't worry about a budget, you know what the price is for that, right? Collection agencies are going to start calling. If I take a shortcut and I just go to the convenience store and get junk food instead of preparing a healthy meal, if I don't exercise, well, what's going to happen is you're going to look like me and you're going to look pregnant when you're not. That's the result. You can look at it right here. Stare at it. It's there. Okay. Well, I know I'm not alone. And I want you to know you're not alone. This is a universal condition that we follow the path of least resistance. We choose the easy path. It's natural, right? The reason why we're talking about this today, because these compromise, when we compromise our standards and we go with what is convenient, then we can mess up any area and all areas of our life. When you go with what's convenient, you can mess up your relationships. You can mess up your finances. You can mess up your faith walk with God, especially your faith walk with God. Here's why. Compromise for the sake of convenience is disobedience. Let that sink in a minute. Compromise for the sake of convenience is disobedience. We're going to unpack that today. How many of our sins can be traced back to choosing what was convenient over what was inconvenient? Most of my sins come because I choose what's convenient. It's easy. It's hard to do the right thing. It's difficult. Damaged lives and lost faith, all because people compromise. I bet you have a list of people, friends and relatives, who made little compromises along the way, and they are now far away from God. And you can see those little consequences along the way. Because remember two weeks ago, we said the choices we make determine the paths we take. It's the same principle here. The choices we make determine the paths we take. So little by little, compromising, going with what's easy will eat away our faith. So we're going to look today at Nehemiah 13. And this is the last chapter of Nehemiah. It's the last sermon in this series. And we're going to look at the convenient compromises the people made in Nehemiah 13. Because we are no different than these people that we're reading about, right? They made compromises and they paid the price, just like we will have to pay the price when we make compromises. When we look at this, we'll see once again that the Bible is relevant to the issues that we struggle with today. It's not just something in antiquity. It is for us. So, before we get into chapter 13, let me just do a little bit refreshing of our minds. chapter 1 of Nehemiah. I'm not going to go through the whole book. I just want to catch us up a little bit. Nehemiah is in Persia, right, in the town of Susa, and he's serving King Artaxerxes. Nehemiah has the burden on his heart. He wants to go back to Jerusalem because Jerusalem is in trouble, and that's his hometown. The temple has already been rebuilt, but the wall is down, and invaders are easily coming in and stealing stuff. We need the wall, and he has a burden on his heart, so he asks the king. The king gives him permission to send him back to Jerusalem, sends him lots of help and lots of money to rebuild the wall. He goes to Jerusalem, and they do it. They build the wall in an astounding 52 days. But it wasn't easy, and it wasn't convenient. In fact, it was uncomfortable, and it was inconvenient to get the job done. It was inconvenient to lay brick with one hand while holding a sword in the other. That's not very convenient, is it? It was inconvenient to have the women and children working on the wall. It was inconvenient to have for the rich leaders with manicured hands to be doing manual labor. It was inconvenient for the people to be working around the clock. They chose what was inconvenient over what was inconvenient, and they got the job done in the midst of threats from the outside, right? Threats from guys like Sanballat and Tobiah. They got the job done. They would not compromise their integrity for the sake of the wall when the outsider said, "Hey, we want to help you build the wall." Right? I mean, wouldn't that be convenient? You got this huge job and all these people want to come in and help you? Yeah, come on in. But they refused to compromise their integrity for building the wall because God had told them to build the wall. It was their responsibility. So they made hard choices. Now, last week we saw in chapter 12 that there's this massive celebration because the wall is finished and they have a worship service to dedicate the wall. I mean, choirs go up on both sides of the wall and they walk around and they surround and the musicians are up there. And everybody, all the priests and Levites are in their nice fancy clothes. And the whole country, they're singing praises and it's a great day in Jerusalem. It's the best day ever. The storehouses are open, and people are flocking in with their money. They're flocking in with their grains and their first fruits and their offerings of animals and everything else. The new wine, the oil, the wood for the never-ending fire on the altar. People are just bringing stuff in. If we could only end the book right there, a happily ever after story, that's a good place to stop, wouldn't you think? If I were writing it, that's it, the end. And they lived happily ever after. But the Bible is a real book. It's not a storybook. It is not fiction. It's not fairy tale. And they give you the real gritty details. So we have chapter 13. So you can look at chapter 13 now. What we find in chapter 13 is that Nehemiah has left Jerusalem. He's gone back to King Artaxerxes in Persia. We don't know how long he stayed away. We do know it was probably no more than 25 years, but it could have been just a couple of years. We don't know what that time frame is. But what we do know is what Nehemiah finds when he does come back to Jerusalem. You remember in chapter 10, they made a binding agreement with God? You remember that? And they agreed to do three things. Well, four things. One, we're going to obey all the laws and commands of God. Two, we're going to honor God in our homes by not intermarrying with pagans outside. Three, we're going to honor God by taking care of the house of God and the temple worship, which meant monetary and material gifts. And four, we're going to honor God in our work by refusing to trade and sell on the Sabbath. So those are the four promises they made in chapter 10. And the Bible itself calls it a binding agreement. Everybody signed it, right? We're in. When chapter 13, every one of those promises have been compromised. And I think every promise was compromised for the sake of convenience. And we're going to look at those right now, okay? So in verses 4 through 9, we have Eliashib the high priest. Eliashib the high priest is in charge of the temple complex. Well, Nehemiah gets there, and he finds that one of the storerooms that's supposed to be for the new wine and the oil and the grain offerings and the first fruits and the holy vessels that are used in worship, the place where the priests live and the singers live and the gatekeepers live, these storerooms were dedicated to the house of God. But when Nehemiah gets in town, he sees that the storeroom is empty. Well, it's empty of the things that should be in there. It's not completely empty because Tobiah has taken up residence in one of the storerooms of the temple. They moved out all the stuff that they used for worship, and they moved in Tobiah's stuff. Tobiah, when Nehemiah was trying to build a wall, was the arch enemy of Nehemiah. He was the arch enemy of Israel. And now we have the high priest, and the NIV uses the phrase, they were closely associated, Eliashib and Tobiah. Why would Eliashib allow an enemy of God into the storeroom, into the holy part, a holy part of the temple complex? I think it was for convenience. I mean, it's not very convenient to turn your friend down when they're in need, right? It's not very convenient. The convenient thing is to be with your friend. That's the good thing to do, right? So I think Eliashib made friends with Tobiah somehow. Eliashib made friends with Tobiah somehow. And I can imagine this conversation. Tobiah comes into town one day and he says, "Man, it is hard bringing all this stuff into the city every single day and setting up shop. I wish I could live here. If only I had a good friend who had an extra room that I could stay in." Eliashib, "Hey, I got all kinds of rooms. I'm in charge of the whole temple, right? Surely we can clear out some stuff, one of these storerooms, for my good friend, my close associate Tobiah." Tobias, "Man, that's really helpful. That's going to make it really convenient for me." I don't know if that's what went on, but that's what I imagine. So Nehemiah comes in, and he sees what's happening, and he kicks out Tobiah. He takes all his stuff and puts it on the curb. And you see that in Memphis a lot, right? When you drive down the street, somebody gets kicked out of their rental house or whatever. There's all their stuff is on the curb, and people are picking through it, all right? This is what happened to Tobiah. Nehemiah called this thing wicked and evil, a desecration of the temple. So we see the temple is desecrated. We see that Eliashib made compromises for the sake of convenience. And we see that Nehemiah saw this as disobedience. This compromise for the sake of convenience was disobedience. Let's keep going, because there's more. All right, in verses 10 through 14. "All the Levites and singers have gone home to their farmland." Why? Because Levites and singers are dependent on the gifts of the people. They're supposed to live in the temple complex and not worry about having to make money, not worry about where the next meals come from, because the people are providing. Well, guess what? The people have stopped bringing their offerings. They've stopped bringing their tithe. They stopped paying the temple tax. They stopped bringing their first fruits. They stopped bringing tithes on their fruits. They stopped bringing new wine and oil. They stopped bringing all this stuff. Maybe that's why there was room for Tobiah in the storeroom to begin with, because the people weren't living up to their promise. You know, they promised back in chapter 10. The people promised in 10:39. They said, "We will not forsake the house of God." And if you go back to verse chapter 10, you'll see they promised to do all the tithing and all the offerings and all the first fruits, to bring the wood for the altar. They just promised, we're going to do it, we're going to do it. But they broke their promise. What happened? Why did they compromise? Why did they break their promise? Well, here's the promise they said in chapter 10. We will not forsake the house of the God. But they did. They compromised for the sake of convenience. Now, how did I get that? I don't think it's very convenient for you to give up the first cow to the temple. I don't think it's convenient for you, for them to tithe on everything and to figure that tithe out each season, each crop season. I don't think it's convenient to give money away when you could keep it at your house and help your own family. I don't think it's convenient to slaughter animal after animal after animal for offerings and sacrifices. That's not very convenient. It's not convenient to count out the fruit and give 10% to the church, or 10% to the temple, 10% of the grain to the temple. This is not convenience. This is inconvenience. And I think the people compromised on this promise because of this. It was convenient for them. Nehemiah won't have anything to do with this. He gets upset. He demands that they reinstitute the offerings. Nehemiah saw this as disobedience. So they broke their promise not to forsake the house of God. And then in verses 15 through 22, we see them breaking another promise. Remember, they promised not to work on the Sabbath, to keep the Sabbath holy. They said in chapter 10 again, when the neighboring peoples bring merchandise or grain to sell on the Sabbath, we will not buy from them. It's a promise, a binding agreement. Guess what they did? They broke the promise. Nehemiah comes in, and he sees all kinds of merchants selling stuff on the Sabbath, and not just the outsiders. He sees Israelites loading their donkeys. He sees Israelites in the wine, treading on the grapes in the press. They're working on the Sabbath. They're selling on the Sabbath, and they're buying on the Sabbath. Nehemiah sees this as what? Disobedience. This is a compromise for the sake of convenience, and Nehemiah sees it as disobedience. So what does he do? He kicks out all the merchants. He locks the gates to the city. He sets up guards. The men of Tyre, who are fishmongers, they're out. They stay on the outside of the gate, and they're still trying to sell to the people, maybe entice them to come out. Nehemiah goes to them and says, you guys, if you do it again, I'm gonna lay hands on you. I'm going to arrest you. And they stopped, and they go home. Nehemiah takes charge of what's going on here. So the people disobey in that area. Then we keep going, verses 23 through 29. We see that they promise not to intermarry their daughters and sons with the pagans. But here we go again. We promise not to give our daughters in marriage to the peoples around us, or take their daughters in marriage. That was their binding promise. Well, they made some compromises for the sake of convenience. Even Nehemiah brings in Solomon here. Solomon, King Solomon, the wisest king of Israel, was warned by God, do not take wives, foreign wives, to be your wives. Why? Because when you bring foreign spouses into your marriage, ungodly spouses into your marriage, they bring their false gods with them into your home. And sure enough, Solomon paid the price. He started worshiping other gods, and he split the kingdom. You think the Israelites think they're better than the wise, rich, powerful King Solomon? Why wouldn't they think something like this is going to happen to them? Why did Solomon do it? Because it was convenient. It was convenient to marry a daughter from Egypt, because then you could form peace treaties. Then your would-be enemy is now a relative. I think the same thing was going on in Jerusalem for the people. It was convenient to give your sons and daughters to other people, because then they're not your enemy anymore, right? They're your relatives. You got each other's back. It was convenient. It's never convenient to turn somebody down when they're proposing. And I wish I had time. I had all these clips I was going to show you from YouTube. of marriage proposal rejections. And none of them looked very convenient to me. Every single one of them was inconvenient and embarrassing. You can Google that when you get home. It's inconvenient to turn somebody down. When a father comes to you and says, I want my son, I would like to marry your wife. I mean, your daughter. Who? My son would like to marry your daughter. Can you, you know, let's shake on it. Let's have a deal. It's hard to say no. God commanded us not to marry outsiders. That's not very convenient. So I think the compromise for the sake of convenience. And Nehemiah saw this as what? Disobedience. And he really took matters into his own hands, literally. He goes and he grabs the fathers by the beard. And he pulls them out and he starts yanking fistfuls of beard hair and pulling it out. He took matters into his own hand. He called curses down on them. He made them swear an oath not to give their sons and daughters to the foreigner people. Because you know what? You know who really gets hurt when you bring ungodly people into your home? Your children. And what Nehemiah found was the children of these mixed marriages could no longer speak Hebrew. That meant they could not understand the Word of God. They could not read the Word of God. They didn't know the language. You bring foreign, ungodly people into your marriage, your kids will suffer. That's a compromise, often for the sake of convenience, but it is actually disobedience. So, today, for you and me, Satan has the same exact plan he's always had. And that's to get us to make small compromises, little by little, veering away from what God wants us to do. And before you know it, we've sinned. We're trapped in sin. Maybe we've even lost our faith, or we've walked away. Satan makes it very easy for us. Satan, he likes to make everything convenient for us. We don't even have to go we don't have to go looking for sin. He brings it to us. It's so easy to make compromises. And compromise, especially for the sake of convenience. So, it is easy to make a compromise around Christmas time. Because we got a lot of bills to pay, right? We got a lot of presents to buy. It's easy to make a compromise and say to yourself, I don't think God will mind if I don't give this week or this month. Because all my money is going to Christmas presents. That's convenient, isn't it? It's convenient when you would rather sleep in the morning than have some quiet time with God. It's convenient when you don't really feel like coming and being with the church people. It's convenient to sleep in. It's convenient when you're working and you're trying to make all the money you can and make your business profitable. It's easy to work all the time and skip out on the worship gathering, to skip out on your growth group. That's convenient. It's convenient to let somebody else disciple your kids. It's the same thing today as it was back then. Satan has the same plan, and we are the same kind of people. But God's plan is the opposite. He wants us to make difficult and often inconvenient choices for the sake of obedience. You see the flip-flop there? Compromise for the sake of convenience is disobedience. But God wants us to make inconvenient choices for the sake of obedience. Well, none of us are out looking for opportunities to compromise our faith. Nobody in this room wants to compromise your faith. I know that. You want to take God seriously. But these opportunities are still going to come. And we have to be strong. We have to be on our guard. We have to be vigilant. We have to be watchful for what's happening. Here's some verses from the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 through 14. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Be alert and be of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour with compromises. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. After each of these sections in Nehemiah 13, when Nehemiah sees the compromise and he gets on to the people and makes some changes, he prays a short little prayer to God. It's four times he says, remember. Three times he says, remember me. One time he says, remember them for what they've done. But when he says, remember me for what I've done, oh my God, he's saying, Lord, I've stood strong. I've held the faith. I've been vigilant. I have been watchful and careful and wise. Please see what I've done. Because I want to please you, God. And my prayer is today that you and I can have this prayer. Instead of the prayer that says, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me, which we will pray that prayer a lot, right? I messed up. We're going to pray that prayer, but I wish we could more and more instead pray this prayer. Remember me, oh my God. So what is it for you? What areas in your life do you tend to make compromises on? We're just like the Israelites. We will make compromises for the sake of convenience. But just remember, that's disobedience in God's eyes. Jesus said, when someone asked him, how many times should I forgive someone who's done something against me? He said, you need to forgive them 70 times 7. And the reason he said that is because the Father forgives us eternally, constantly, never-ending forgiveness. We got to remember that, because we're going to mess up. We're going to compromise. But God wants to forgive us. God sent Nehemiah, the leader, to the Israelites to rebuild the wall and to rebuild the faith of the people. God has given this church some godly leaders, and they want to help you build or rebuild your faith. We're going to be in the back, me and some of the shepherds. And if you want some prayer for anything, if you want to ask questions, if you want to praise God for something, we'd love to hear from you and pray with you. These are godly leaders that love you and love the Lord, and they want to help you rebuild or build your faith. Let's stand together and sing.